Hey Haley, how are you?
I'm good, Amy. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. Doing pretty well.
Happy Easter.
Thank you, yes. We are on the last day of the Easter weekend. It is still counted the weekend. It's a long weekend, isn't it?
Monday. Yeah, it's Easter Monday.
Mm-hmm. Easter Monday.
I'm not
Monday.
Sure if everywhere celebrates Easter in the same way in terms of public holidays.
Yeah,
I don't know. Because Easter Monday in terms of Christian tradition doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't have a significance. Yeah.
As I'm about to say that, like, have I missed something?
Does it? I'm with you if you have. Doesn't bode well for the podcast theology.
But in Australia, we have Good Friday as a public holiday and Easter Monday. So it's like the only four-day weekend in the year. And it's a beautiful
thing. I didn't
realize
that, but yes, yeah, it is beautiful. Although I will say I didn't have a full long weekend, but being a contractor means I've got the flexibility to still enjoy the long weekend with the family a little bit, even though I did do some work. But it's nice to have a big chunk of family time.
Yeah, I agree. So in this episode today, Amy is going to share about a miscarriage. And we will give you a bit of a more detailed trigger warning just in terms of what she's going to talk about. But don't turn off now if you don't want to listen to that. And we completely understand not wanting to listen. Mm-hmm. But we do want to share first that we've just been talking about how things are working with us and the podcast. And we're going to make this our last in-between episode for now.
Yeah.
And we're going to try something new. You may or may not have heard of the Peanut app, which is a social networking app for mums, pretty much. But they have a feature on it that you can create a room and have a group voice chat, pretty much. So we're going to somewhat trial moving the in-between episodes to that platform to see if you might be free to join us in the chat. So
yeah.
We'll still have a topic that we want to chat about for a short amount of time, but you can join in if you want to. You can't re-listen. That's the only thing. I don't think you can record, or we'll find that out, but it might be a cool way for us to chat back to you for it to be more of a conversation.
Yeah. So we'll give you all the details for when that is coming out and how you can get on and how you can get connected in on it, but it'll be a bit more of a live conversational in-between version rather than a recorded episode that we're going to be putting out on the platforms. So watch this space for that, guys.
Yeah, next week in the episode we'll share when exactly we'll do it, and we'll share on social media as well the details in case you missed that.
Yeah, we can stumble through the first awkward live call all together. You can join us for it.
And we're just right now thinking we'll just try it three or four times and see how it goes. And if it doesn't work, that's cool. And if it does work, how fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you for listening to the in-between episodes. As we have trialed them, we have enjoyed doing them. But time to try something else.
Yeah. This episode will be a little bit longer than our normal in-between length ones just due to the content of it. Deserved a bit of a longer discussion than our normal episodes. So as Haley mentioned earlier, in this episode, I'm going to be sharing about a miscarriage that I've just been going through. So we wanted to give you a bit of a trigger warning just to say if you are pregnant or in that realm of life maybe and a little bit anxious potentially, you might want to skip this episode. It's up to you. And also if you've experienced your own miscarriage, we want to acknowledge that everybody has extremely different stories, and this may, you know, if you're sensitive to hearing somebody else's journey, it may or may not be a little bit triggering as well. So that's just a little bit of a disclaimer before we start that obviously it's a topic that is extremely emotional and varied for everybody. So little warning beforehand.
So if you're thinking this is not the episode for you to listen to, now is the time to turn it off.
So in January of this year, Blair and I found out that we were pregnant, which was very exciting. And we'd been trying for over a year. So we're well and truly over that step of the process and very excited to find out that we were finally pregnant and everything that came with that. You know, we've obviously got three children that we love, and those pregnancies have gone remarkably smoothly, and I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, I guess we weren't expecting when we found out we were pregnant what the rest of the journey was going to look like. And one of the big reasons why I wanted to share about this on the podcast specifically was I, you know, we always hear people say, we don't talk about miscarriage enough. And being someone who hadn't had a miscarriage, I was always like, yeah, it doesn't get talked about enough, but obviously didn't have like the personal reflection to kind of add substance to that statement. I didn't know, you know, I hadn't been through one. So having someone say we don't talk about it enough is one thing. But having gone through it now, there are so many aspects to it that I was like, wow, this is so much more, I guess, than the surface level picture, which was, I always knew it would be like hard and difficult, but it was so much more than the surface level picture that I'd picked up over the years. And there was things that I was like, I'd never thought about this aspect of it, or I never thought about this side of it, or whatever it is. So I was like, well, I'd really love to share about my experience. And again, another trigger warning, I intentionally may be a bit TMI, but that's just how I am. And that's kind of the heart behind it. I want to share what it was like for me, because I'm not sure that we hear people share too openly about this stuff, because sometimes they can't and sometimes they don't want to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is something that I'd like to do. So in January, we found out we were pregnant, very excited. I have polycystic ovaries, so I'd booked in a dating scan for 7 weeks. So in February, I went for my dating scan. And when I went for my scan, I could tell there was something off, because the lady was talking so, so much. She wasn't letting me like ask questions, and she was just kind of rambling about her kids. And she just kind of went on this like tangent about her kids getting ready for sport in the morning or something like that. And I was like, okay. And she'd made a bit of an interesting face. And she said, at the end, she's like, look, I think either you're earlier than you think you are, or she didn't even say, or she just said, I think you're earlier than you think you are. And I am a little bit of a know-it-all when it comes to this stuff. I just think that I know everything. And straight away when she said that, I was like, I don't think I can be earlier than I am. Like, I don't think that I can be earlier than 7 weeks, because I know the exact day that line finally appeared on the pregnancy test. And I know it could not be any less than this many days. So straight away, when she said that, I was pretty like, all right, this is not going to end up well. But she was like, you know what, come back in 2 weeks time and we'll check everything, get some blood work done. And so I went away, and you know, I straight away went to Blair and I was like, I don't think everything's okay. And I've never had that before. I've had dating scans with all my children and never had it be too early to see something. Mm-hmm. So, we waited the 2 weeks, which felt like a lifetime. I got blood work done. Even the blood work came back normal. My doctor was like, it looks really good. It's all normal. And I was like, those numbers don't add up to me. I was telling my doctor, that doesn't sound right to me, when she's the doctor there. And I love how much I think I'm better than my doctors and medical professionals, because I have Google.
But you have... You haven't always fallen pregnant quickly previously, so no. You have educated yourself and tracked everything closely.
That is true. Yeah. And so I mean, to be fair, I wasn't wrong when I was thinking these things, but I also tend to jump to the most catastrophic thinking. So I'll jump to the worst possible scenario, or the most realistic, I guess, in my mind. Mm-hmm. So the weight ended up dragging on longer than anybody had hoped. And it obviously feels like so much longer when you're waiting for an answer, something so like life altering. You just want to know the answer and it takes a long time. So anyway, during that time, I started to bleed a little bit and I went in to get checked a couple times and they couldn't really give me any conclusive answers. Just so many appointments of inconclusive answers and leaving being like, all right, well, I know almost nothing more than I did before. And everyone just kept saying, you know, you have to just get your scan that's booked in, you have to go to that scan, they'll be able to tell you there. And actually at the exact same time that my scan was booked in for, that's when I started to actually bleed quite heavily at home. And it was, I knew straight away in the morning, I just had a crampy feeling. I started to bleed. It felt like period pain, but worse. And I was like, this is definitely what's happening. I think I'm miscarrying right now. And at first it was a little bit, this is where it might get a bit TMI.
Which means too much information.
Too much information, in case anyone doesn't know what that means. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, just normal bleeding, I guess, period type bleeding. And then I was working, I was at my computer and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom and it just started to bleed so much. And I remember being like, I just have to get in the shower. I just have to get in the shower. And I got into the shower. And while I was in there, I felt like I was having a tiny little birth. It was... So strangely shocking, and obviously sounds probably pretty gross to some people, but also beautiful at the same time. It was a really interesting experience for me. And I have had cesareans with the kids. So it was a fascinating thing on that layer as well, because I was like, huh, it's like I'm having a birth for the first time. I haven't really given birth naturally this way. And obviously very different when you're only at that stage. I was 9 weeks, I think. So very, very, very different to a full-term birth. But it was actually a strangely beautiful and healing thing for me to experience. And I just spent a couple hours by myself in the shower passing this miscarriage. And I remember when I was a younger adult, I remember distinctly one of my friends had a miscarriage, and I was like, what happens? What happens in a miscarriage? I didn't even ask her because I was like, I don't want to ask. Do you see something come out? Like, what happens? I just remember being so intrigued by it. I actually Googled it because I was like, do you see, like, what do you just like pass blood and you don't see anything, or do you sometimes see something? And so this time I was like, I'm wondering what I'm going to see. And I would get these urges to push, and I would push and stuff would just come out. Like, it would just gush out of me. It gushed out of me. This little sac came out. It was fully like round and perfect. And I was like, I picked it up and I was looking at it. I was like, oh my gosh, I think this is like my sac, because I don't know what else would be in me that looks like this. And it was so fascinating to look at. And it was so fascinating to think about, like, my body just knew what it was doing. And it was heartbreaking because I was like losing this pregnancy. I had the benefit of like knowing that this was coming probably for a couple of weeks. Like, it wasn't a shock and a surprise to me. So I think I was in a different headspace than I would have if all of a sudden this had just happened and I had no idea. But I just watched this stuff come out and I felt this strange mixture of like, wow, I'm a superhuman, because I'm just in the shower passing this stuff and going through something horrible, but I can do it. And seeing this and having this weird, like, strange healing experience of being like, this is coming from me. This is the pregnancy that I was thinking was growing. And now it's out and I've seen it out. And it was also good for me, I think, mentally, because I was like, okay, I've seen that come out now. Like, it's out of me now. And it was out of me, which I like was confirmed later. So it was really fascinating in that way. We ended up going to the hospital because I was also like, the other thing I didn't know about miscarriage was like, okay, I know I'm bleeding a lot. Like, I am bleeding a lot. If I stand up, it just keeps coming out. And I've never had that experience before, like totally different to a period kind of thing. And so like, they always say, you know, if you're gushing blood, maybe go to the hospital. So I was like, oh, okay. I'd been in the hospital like 3 or 4 times by now, because I'd gone in to get checked for the bleeding days beforehand. And so I really didn't want to go again. But I was also like, if I am not going and I'm meant to be going right now, that's not a good thing either. So it's like this weird thing, like, you don't go through this stuff. You don't know what it looks like. You don't know what is good, what's normal or not. Like, none of this is healthy good. Like, it's a concerning health thing. So like, you being deciding when you're in a serious position and you need to go in was a really weird thing as well. But I went to the hospital. They were really lovely. You know, they were like, it's probably all good now. It sounds like you've passed the sac. It sounds like everything's kind of doing its own thing, as heartbreaking as it is. And that you can kind of go heal. You'll bleed for a little while. And then you'll have a couple of weeks and probably get your period, and then you'll know like everything's done. So I was like, okay, went home, and they had given me a scan that I could go to if I wanted to. And they actually said to me, you don't have to go if you don't want to. Most people wouldn't. And I was like, oh, I think I will, just because I like to be sure, because I get nervous and I like to see things. I was like, I'd like to just be sure that everything's gone, because I know that, you know, sometimes things don't pass completely on their own. And so they're like, yep, cool, no worries. So I went to the scan, and when I went in, she's like, she literally said to me, this looks dodgy. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, what a face.
I was like, thank you. And she's like, yeah, you've got some stuff left over here. And I was like, oh gosh. So she's like, I think you should go back to the emergency and just get them to check it out. So I ended up spending a whole other day in the emergency. They were trying to check out if everything was gone. And they ended up sending me home thinking that it was probably not enough to keep me in. Then a week later, went for another scan. That lady actually laughed at me when I came in, and she's like, why are you here for a repeat scan? And I said, oh, you know, my doctor said there was some retained pregnancy material, and they wanted me to get a repeat scan. And she's like, we don't see repeat scans. If we see retained pregnancy, that's it. They go and deal with it. Like, we don't get people in again just to see, because it doesn't usually clear itself. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know why I'm here. But, and she's like, yeah, there's still stuff here. It was such a confusing process. And this is the other thing that I wanted to share about too, is I did not realize, like, I always knew, okay, you have a miscarriage, your pregnancy ends, you deal with the grief of that, you work through the process of healing from that. I didn't realize how long and drawn out it can be on the other side of it. And for me, that was the part that really had the most grief and stress about it, because from the day I found out I was pregnant, it was 1 month almost exactly till I found out that it looked like things weren't growing. From the day that I found out things weren't growing, or it looked like they might not be growing, it was 1 month to the day that I miscarried. From the day that I miscarried, it was a whole other month or more until everything was finally gone from my body. And I didn't expect to feel so much like my body wasn't my own. I really felt like during that time, not only was I processing grieving a miscarriage that I've just had and the physical side of everything that came with that, I was also processing this really drawn out process of seeing different doctors. I was sent to different people. Different people had different ideas, and I couldn't get a clear answer. No one wanted to make a definitive choice on what to do to treat me. And I know that's not, some people, it's a really clear thing. They just go in, they get, often they'll get a DNC, or they'll be given medication to help them pass something or whatever it might be. But for my situation, it wasn't that clear. And it just got drawn out and drawn out and drawn out. And that was the hardest piece for me, was the after part of being like, I don't know when this is going to end. I don't know how this concludes. I don't know if I'm good. I don't know if I'm bad. And because I overthink things and I'm a catastrophic thinker, I was like, am I feverish right now? Am I cramping right now? Like, am I just like convincing myself I don't feel good, or do I really not feel good? And do I just keep presenting back at the hospital for like help? And spending hours like of my day waiting in the waiting room just to be seen, to be sent home again, because they don't think it's an emergency. So it was a really interesting process. And I'm going to try and wrap this up because this has gone for so long now. But I found the after part of the miscarriage. The first part of the miscarriage was the hardest part for the emotional grief of being like, okay, what I've just been projecting for the next 9 months of my life is not going to be the case. Even beyond that, you know, I was projecting that we were going to have a baby born in October. I was projecting that Ellie was going to be just three, which was older already than I wanted her to be when she was going to be a sister, but three's okay. And now that's not going to happen, you know, and I was projecting all of these things, and that's changed. So obviously the miscarriage part was so heartbreaking and I guess shocking in a way. And then I didn't understand the process that comes afterwards and the process of working through this weird feeling of your body is not quite right. There's something just not quite right of your body. And it hasn't been until this last week when I finally had my period and it's now gone that I've actually felt like, oh my gosh, I feel like myself again, which I've got the emotional stuff that I'm still working through. And that's going to be a process, and it's going to be a process differently for everybody. But I finally feel like I am physically myself again, which is amazing. I'm so grateful for that. And I know for some people, this process is even longer, which I just can't even comprehend. But what I will also say is that God has been like, he's been so incredible during this whole thing, because for one thing, the experience I had in the shower, I remember looking back at the shower when I was going to the toilet like a week later, and I just looked at the shower and I was like, wow, weird things happened in that shower last week, like weird things. And it was almost honestly, almost like a spiritual experience as well. Like I feel like God was so present with me in a really crappy thing, but also really healing. Like, it was a really healing experience for me. And it provided a very beautiful, a sad, beautiful closure to the situation, which I didn't expect. So that was amazing. And then through the process of all these different, like just being drawn out, different doctors having different opinions, not getting clear answers, not getting answers that I wanted. Through all of that process, I so clearly heard him just be like, you know what? Sometimes we don't get answers that we want. And there will be things on earth that we will never have the answer to. Like, there will be questions, there will be issues we go through that we will never have the answer, either the answer we want, or we'll just never have a clear answer on. And that can feel really scary and overwhelming, but that does not change in any way God's presence with us, or in any way the truth of the situation, or his faithfulness to the promises he's made us. So even in those crappy times when we can't see the answer we want, or we're not getting the answer we want, or it's taking too long, or it's changed, like it's not, you know, whatever it is that's not sitting comfortably with us, even in those times, he's so present and he's so faithful, even though it can feel so scary. And it was such an amazing journey for me. And I know like there was so many days and times when it didn't feel amazing, and I didn't feel his presence until later. I kind of would come back to it and reflect on it, and like I could clearly hear him speaking to me and speaking to my heart. But I'm very grateful for a lot of those reminders that he gave me during that time. And I'm really grateful for the love and support, for one thing, from my friends and family and my workmates. They've been amazing. because it's obviously been such a process. It took a long time, and it wasn't something that's like, oh, I got sick with this thing and now I'm done, or I broke my arm, so I've got a thing on and it'll be this long. It was like, I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know if I'm going to be taken into a procedure randomly. I don't know what it's going to look like. I didn't have a clear timeline on anything. And so I'm so grateful for the support of everybody that walked through that very flexibly with us. But also, and most importantly, just so grateful for God's presence through it and the way that he carried us through that.
Thank you so much for courageously being willing to share your experience and your story. I haven't had a miscarriage myself, so you sharing what you've been through and what it looked like has taught me a lot and opened my eyes and my mind to what happens, because like you previously, I didn't understand, and I still don't, in the way of not experiencing it myself. And I guess there's no easy words to wrap up this episode. So if it's all right, I think I'll pray and we'll end with a prayer.
Thanks, Hayley.
God, I thank you for Amy and her heart to share with us all today. And God, I want to lift up anyone that is experiencing infertility currently, has experienced miscarriage or is experiencing miscarriage right now. Lord, I pray that no matter where someone is in their journey, that they would know your faithfulness, they would know your love, and that they would know your presence and what it feels like. God, we pray for healing both in people's hearts and minds and physically in their bodies. And we pray that your plans for them and their family would come to fruition, and that they would continue to trust in your timing and your goodness, no matter what their circumstances are saying right now. In all our ways, we put our trust in you, God, and we thank you that we can have hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm.